Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your word. Your word that reminds us that your Son, our Savior, continues to pray for us, to intercede for us, to make us right before you. We thank you that your word reminds us that through you we can see again. See what is the truth. And see what your truth calls us to do and to be. Help us, O Lord, to hear with ears of faith and with hearts that understand. Amen. A major part of my sermon today would be classified as a narrative sermon. A narrative sermon attempts to try to get into the mind of a character. I'm not going to be acting out the character so much as I've done in the past, where I put on different clothes and change my voice and so forth. But a narrative sermon tries to look at something from a character's point of view. In the case today, my narrative sermon is about looking at the events of our gospel reading from the mind of Bartimaeus. I had sat on that dusty road from Jericho to Jerusalem often. It was well traveled, and thus was a good place for people in my situation to station themselves for begging. I never enjoyed begging, but I had no choice. I became blind and therefore could not keep my job. I suppose since then I've always harbored the secret hopes that somehow I would be able to see again and be a part of society. But rarely do the blind see again. I had heard hearsay of this man, Jesus, of the things that he had done. You see, sitting on a busy road as I did, I was often privy to the conversations of those who passed by or stood by close to me, talking with friends and strangers. I may not be able to see, but I could hear very well. Some of the stories that the people shared about this man Jesus were pretty incredible. I often wondered if they were even possible. Lately, I had been hearing more and more about him, and I found out that he indeed was coming to Jericho, and that he would be going on to Jerusalem. And that would mean that he'd be going right by me. And when I realized that, I realized that I might have the opportunity to talk to this man. I might have the possibility of being healed by him, if he was who people have been saying that he was. But as soon as I began to think that way, I began to question myself. Did I really want to ask him to heal me? Now, that might be a strange question to hear me saying, but I asked it of myself. Because, you know, there was, after all, a price to pay to ask him. First, there was the fear that I would be rejected. I've been rejected so many times. Would he listen to a blind beggar by the side of the road? Then, the question, would he even be able to heal me? Perhaps much of what I heard was hearsay and it wasn't true, or the stories had gotten blown up in the telling. What if the man really didn't have the power to heal me? I would get my hopes up and then be let down again. I didn't know if I could go through that again. And in the process, look foolish. And the other question, is it even possible that the Messiah, the Son of David, could be alive in today's world? Is that not the way, the only way that some of the things that I have heard that this man has done could have been done if he was the Messiah? These were the questions and the thoughts that kept me company over the few days as I sat by the side of the road and waited for him to come by. Then one day, I was sitting there in my place by the side of the road like I do every day. And I heard voices of people speaking, and they were saying that this Jesus was coming. And I realized then and there, I had to make a decision. Am I going to call out him and ask him to heal me? Was I going to risk being healed? So much would change if I was. And so much was not going to change if I wasn't. You know, it seemed to me that there was a price to pay either way. I prayed to the God of my ancestors, to Abraham and Sarah, for help in deciding. I decided that if he was who he appeared to be, then it was important that I trust him. The price of not encountering the Son of David when I had the opportunity was not one that I could afford. If I found out that it was all hearsay, then I would be foolish, but then nobody ever died from being foolish. But people can die, in a sense, from not meeting the Messiah. Well, the day was getting hotter, and then all of a sudden I heard a great commotion coming from down the road. And I heard that someone said that Jesus was in the crowd. And I waited for the noise to get closer and closer, and then I called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" And I heard several people around me, "Shh, be quiet, Jesus is talking." But I had been quiet for so long, and I had for so long considered myself to be nothing but a beggar. People never considered me to be anyone other than someone to throw money at. Society had forgotten, but now I wanted to know if God had forgotten me also. And I cried out again louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" Again, people were telling me to be quiet, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" And then the crowd stopped. And someone next to me said, "Take heart, blind man, he's calling you." And I quickly got up and threw off my cloak. And the man who spoke took my arm and we walked forward and then we stopped. And I heard a voice coming from in front of me. "What do you want me to do for you?" I responded, "My teacher, let me see again." Why did I call him teacher? I suppose if all that I'd heard about him was true, then I and all of us had a lot to learn. People had spoken of many times how he sat and talked to them about the way things are, about God and humanity, but they also said he taught differently than the scribes and the Pharisees. He had spoken with some kind of a special authority. And then this Jesus said to me, "Go. Your faith has made you well." And then it was as if a veil had been covering my eyes, was lifted, and I could see again. And I realized then, looking into the face of this Jesus for the first time, that all that I had heard had been hearsay until this moment. But now I had seen and experienced His power in my life. And it wasn't hearsay anymore. And Jesus and the crowd moved on. And I followed, reflecting on how I had worried about the price I would pay by trusting that He would stay with Son. The others alone were just not enough. The words of others was just not enough for me to believe that Jesus was the Son of David. But it took trust. It took a leap of faith on my part to meet God face to face. It took risking, looking foolish, in order to believe before the power of God would become evident for me. It took a commitment of myself, my trust, before the veil was lifted from my sight. I continued to follow Him. How could I not after what He'd done for me? We marched into Jerusalem with people waving their palm branches. I wondered how many of them were doing it because of hearsay, because of what they had heard from others. I found out later in the week, once maybe some of them, but certainly others, shouted to put Him to death. But then, you know, I ran away too after that because I was afraid again. I found myself living in darkness again. I was afraid again of the price. What would it cost me to believe that this man that they put on a cross was the Messiah? I saw now how it could cost me my life. Just when I seemed to have regained it. And then several days later, I heard the resurrection. You know, I had forgotten to trust again. And when I trusted again, the veil lifted again. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Go. Your faith has made you well. That's the end of the narrative part of the sermon. In many ways, looking at the possible reflections going on in the mind of Bartimaeus touches on our remembrance of the Reformation today. One of the main acts of the Reformation was to put the responsibility for one's spirituality into the hands of the individual. Last week I talked about how we are a priesthood of all believers, priests for each other. The responsibilities of the priest that include praying for others and offering the sacrifice of ourselves with the support and care of one another so that they can be restored in their relationship with God. But today we're looking at our own responsibility for ourselves. Bartimaeus had to decide if he was going to learn if what people said about Jesus was true. He was responsible for his relationship with the Messiah, with God. One of the main changes, as I noted in the children's talk, of the Reformation was to put the Bible in the hands of people. Now they could read God's word and they became responsible for their faith. Martin Luther translated it into German so that people could understand it. Gutenberg, invention of the printing press, right about the same time, made it possible for the Bible to be printed much more economically, and so it was much more accessible to people. You might be interested in knowing that when I first made out the bulletin for this week, the picture on the front of the bulletin had a picture of Gutenberg's printing press, because it played such a major role in the power and the spread of the Reformation fire. No longer could anyone say, "I've not heard or understood the Bible. I don't know what God's word is to me." It was read in their common everyday language, and they knew the stories. Now they were accountable for their relationship to God, just as Bartimaeus was accountable for his relationship to Jesus. And if he was going to be healed, touched by God's Spirit, then he was going to have to make the first move. That was the only way that hearsay could become truth for him. So Bartimaeus challenges us today to ask if we are responsible for our faith, for our relationship to God. Are we willing to meet God firsthand in prayer and in the Scriptures? Or are we content to live with hearsay, with what others tell us? The difference is that the latter one, there is no power or value to one's faith for those who live by hearsay. But if we search for the truth, if we build a relationship with God, then our faith will have power. Power that can help us to see when we have been blind. I once was blind, but now I see. Amen.